Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Tosis Diri Maschil Melamed Shehalach V'lon Be'omke Shehalacha. To recall, the Gemara had discussed that Yehoshua had done two averos b'shogeg. One was causing a bittul atomid, and the other was causing bittul Torah by besieging Yericho even at night. And the Malach came to him with an outdrawn sword, implying that Yeshua was worthy of punishment, and then said, Atabasi, that I came over the Aveira of Talmud Torah. So Tosis comments that in certain Gemaras there was another Girsa, which he points out does not belong here. Kolzman, starting the Tosis itself, Kolzman Sheshchina V'aron Shruyin Shalobim Koman Asurin B'tashma Shamita. That whole quote, that as long as the divine presence and the Aron are not in their proper place, meaning either in the Mishkan when it's built up or the temporary place where it's staying, in the case of Yehoshua and Gilgal, Asura Mitash Mamita. So there's a prohibition against marital relations. So all that line, which apparently some versions of the Gemara had here, Lo Goras Lehocha. We should not have that version here. The Mashayach Khan, since of what relevance is it here? Because our Gemara is not dealing with anything related to marriage, or as we'll see later, having children. So why would the Gemara bring that up? The fact that there's a prohibition of marital relations that's neither related to Avoda, again, the Bittul Atomid, nor to Bittul Talmud Torah. So where did it come from? So Tosis points out to Uferek Hador in the Perek in Erevin entitled Hador Gorasle. There it does belong. And apparently, since they're similar sugyas, both Gemaras discuss the other crimes of Avod and Talmud Torah, so it was apparently interpolated here incorrectly. What does it say there? The Ka'amar, as it says over there, Shenena Sheoshua Al Shebitel Yisrael Mipri Verivya, that Yehoshua was punished. We'll see in a moment what that punishment was, because he caused the Jewish people to have to not be to be in a situation where they weren't able to engage in procreation for even one night. Hence the connection to the prohibition of marital relations. Again, the sequence of events. That since the Jews were in battle, and in the days of Yehoshua, they would take the Aron Kodesh out to battle. Tosis and Aaron points out, according to the opinion that he seems to prefer, that there were two Aronos, one that had the Shivri Luchos, the broken Luchos, and one that had the real Luchos in them, the complete Luchos, the second ones. I shouldn't say the real, but the second ones. And the one that went into the Mishkan that had the real, the whole ones in it, that went into battle in the days of Yehoshua. In subsequent times, it was supposed to stay in the Mishkan. Very famously, in the days of Shiloh, it was taken out to battle, and it was stolen by the Plishtim in war, and that was considered improper for them to have done. So Tos explains that it was very common for Jews to take the Aron out to battle, but they would take the other Aron out. I think it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. To temporarily house the Luchos, and then ultimately they house the broken Luchos. So, but in the days of Yeshua, it was the real Aron Kodesh that had the whole Luchos, and that went to battle in the days of Yeshua. There was a special divine command. And when that Aron Kodesh was not b'mkomo, so marital relations were prohibited, and hence the Jews were not able to engage in procreation. So Yeshua was punished once again, similar to Agamara, that it's not really the time for battle at night, that he should have retired, if you will, from the battle at night, allowing both the Jews to study Torah and to be able to engage in Pirei V'Rivya. So that was the Gemara's criticism there. So Tosis points out that there that Girsa belongs, because it's trying to say that Yehoshua was punished for being mevatel the Jews from Pirei V'Rivya for one night because the Aron was not b'mkomo, the divine presence was not in its, so to speak, proper place. That's the first part of Tosis. Now Tosis says Yesh Lomar. Yesh Lama, of course, implies an answer. So what kasha is he asking? He already pointed out we shouldn't have the girsa, and the girsa belongs there. So what kasha is he asking? So it's an implicit question. On the margin, they point out explicitly what the kasha is from what they call a gilyon tosis. Depending on which gemara you have, depends on where it is. Again, not unclear exactly who wrote this. Not as like Gilyon Tosis, which is a part of Tosis itself, written on the margin of the manuscripts. This doesn't say Gilyon Tosis, but it was written on the margin of the Gemara by some scholar. So it says, "Velo sasri adadi, ha'asam ka'amar, shenenash, al shabitl Yisrael mipirei v'rivya." It's an abbreviation. "V'ha'cha amar shenenash al shabitl me'avoda." So the kasha, or at least the implicit kasha, being that there seems to be a contradiction, because our Gemara accuses Yoshua of the double Avera of being Mavatli Avoda on one day and Talmud Torah on another day. And for that he was punished. And that Gemara in Erevin, which actually quotes those two Averas, speaks about as being punished because of the Bittel Piriv Rivia. So which is it? Well, what was the crime for which Yeshua was punished? So on that kasha, Tosis now answers. Yesh Lomar. Back to the Tosis, Yesh Lomar. Demash and Enash. That which he was punished, Shalahoyelo ben Zohar, that Yeshua did not have any sons. See later about that. They did have daughters. Hoya al Shabitel Yisrael mitashmish mida keneged mida. That punishment, he didn't have sons, was because he prevented the Jews from fulfilling Pir Rivian. It was measure for measure, because they weren't able to have children, so he was deprived of at least having male children. I will sha'ar onish, but the other punishment, meaning not that he didn't have male children, but the other punishment, bo'lo al bittel Torah. So that came to him because of bittel Torah. Again, the margin comment focuses on avoda, this focuses on bittel Torah. The Gemara speaks about both. The conclusion being that bittel Torah was the primary crime. What was the punishment? So some unfortunate Tosafos explained the punishment was the threat, that the frightening experience of the Malach who stretched out the sword toward Yeshua, that itself was considered an onesh, implying to Yeshua that he was worthy of punishment. So that itself was considered an onesh, according to Tosafos. So that was because of Bittel Torah, and the fact that Yeshua didn't have male children was because of Bittel Piriviv. So there's an interesting comment by the Rashash in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel there, Samach Gimel Beis, where the Rashash explains where did Tosis get this idea that Yoshua had children? Because the Gemara in Erevin, he just had daughters, not sons. Because the Gemara in Erevin implies actually that he didn't lo hayelo vlad, that because he was mevatel the Jews in Periviv, he didn't have any children. So why did Tosis assume over here shlohiyo ben zocher? So it points out that it's actually our mesechta. But there's a Gemara on Yudalad Amud Beis that quotes various brisos that Yoshua had various important descendants, and he had them from Rochav, who was he was saved, her family was saved from Yericho, and the only one because she protected the spies, and tradition has it that she converted, and Yoshua married her. And so from that marriage, they produced several significant descendants, among them Yirmiyah HaNavi, and Yirmiyah's father was also a Navi, and Baruch ben Neriah, and other people as well. You can look at the bottom of Yudal and Mabez. So the Gemara points out that Yeshua had children, but they quote the Pasuk that in Divrei Yomim that implies that he didn't have children, and that's the same Pasuk that the Gemara in Erevin quotes, where it leaves that without any further explanation, implying they didn't have any children. So that's what the Gemara in Megillah, Yudal Beis, says that Bani Lohai Vavale Benasan Havale, the very last line of Yudal Beis. He didn't have sons, but he had daughters. So that's the Rashash says that he's certain that Tosis, without quoting that Gemara explicitly, had that in mind when he said Lohai Lo Ben Zachar, against the simple implication of the Gemara in Erevin, but clarified by the Gemara Megillah. So again, that the punishment was that the Yoshua didn't have sons, but he certainly did have daughters, and therefore he did have living descendants, among them very prominent people. Megillah, Daf Gimel Mabeis, Tosfos Ari Maslam Anos. The Gemara had quoted a Mishnah in, I believe, from a Masechta Moed Katan, distinguishing between various eulogizing practices on regular weekdays, on Chol HaMoed, as opposed to Chol HaMoed, and on Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah, and Purim. Gemara was raising that in a broader topic, which Rav Hashem will review with relevant to Megillah in the next Tosis. So the Gemara discussed that on Chol HaMoed, it was very common to have female eulogizers who would create a somber atmosphere with their wailing and clapping and so on and so forth. So the Gemara uses the term on Moed, Ma'anos avalo metapchos. That they're allowed to be ma'ane, but they're not allowed to be metapechet. And Rish Moral had somewhat of a different distinction. And then the Braisa continued to say that on Rish Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, they could do both. They could be ma'ano and metapechet. But they can't be mekonenet. So Tos is just similar to Rashi, somewhat different, but very similar to Rashi, just defines what these terms are. Ma'anos. Kulan onos ka'achas, that they all wail together. That's ma'anos. Mekonenos, achas omeres, v'asha'ar onos. Where one mentions words of dirge and the others respond after her, which is considered a more intense form of awakening, wailing, mournful mood. And therefore, that's only allowed on a total weekday. Certainly not on Chol HaMoed, and certainly not on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, but Ma'anos is allowed. Okay. Now, Metapchos, what does that mean? That which the Gemara had said that is allowed on a regular weekday and is allowed on Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh, and Purim, but is not allowed on Chol HaMoed. So that's Yad al Yad, either they're clapping the hands together, or al Yorech, or on the thigh, or al Ponim, or on the face. So in that, Rashi is a little bit different, has a little bit different shot of Metapchos. Rashi says Aliban on their hearts. So it's the same idea that the Metapchos has to do with clapping, and that's considered an intermediate form of expressing mourning, which is not allowed on Chol HaMoed, but is allowed on other days, including Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, and certainly on a regular weekday. Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham. The Gemara had quoted the statement of Rabbi Barhuna that even though there are various limitations of eulogizing mourning practices, both on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, each in varying degrees, but concerning the eulogy of a Talmud Chacham, Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham. There is no restrictions even on Chol HaMoed, and all of the regular eulogizing practices may be performed. We discussed earlier whether it's metapchos, clapping the hands in some sort, beating the hands, or ma'anos, everyone reciting some kind of wailing together, or mekonenos, where one recites and others respond. So none of that applies in the case of a death of a Talmud Chacham. So Tosfos just adds from a Gemara in Moed Katan, where it states so explicitly, on Chav Zayin of Beis, Ein Moed Rishnei Talmud Chacham, V'yom Shmua Kibafan of Domi. Yom Shmua is considered as if it's in the presence of the Talmud Chacham. So, just a word to explain the Tosfos a little better. The Gemara Moed Katan elucidates the words of Rabbi Barhuna, which are quoted there. It's the primary location. That Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham, that literally in the presence of a Talmud Chacham, so one may eulogize on Moed, and as the Gemara says, all the more so on Chanukah and Purim. The Gemara has a diuk that's b'fnei Talmud Chacham, in the presence of the Talmud Chacham, even though one is eulogizing a Talmud Chacham, but if it's not in his presence, then one would not be able to eulogize. What is called not in his presence? So the Rishonim have a debate about this, whether it literally means that the body of the deceased is there at the eulogy, as is common in when eulogies at a funeral home nowadays? Or does it mean between the death and the burial? Maybe that's what it means, bifnei. But either way, it has to be bifnei. Either if the body's not there, or certainly after the burial, even if eulogies are continuing, so then eulogies can occur, and even recommended to occur, had it not been some kind of festive occasion, but on moed, they cannot occur. So the Gemara points out that there was an Amora, in Moed Katna, there was an Amora who did do a eulogy for another Amora, and it was on Moed. So how could he do so? Even though it was in a totally different town, and it certainly wasn't Befanov. So to that, the Gemara comments, and that's what Tosa quotes here, V'yom Shmua ki Befanov Dami, that he had eulogized that Talmud Chacham on the day they had heard, that's the idea of Yom Shmua, the day they had heard of his death. That creates, if you will, a quasi-intense mourning state, and therefore it's as if it's in the presence of the Talmud Chacham, or according to the other opinion, it's as if it's between the burial, between the death and the burial. So that can be done fully, even on a moed. We shouldn't have a debate as to whether this is called, this is talking about a Shmua Krova or a Shmua Rechoka. Shmua Krova is within 30 days of the death, and a Shmua Rechoka is after 30 days of death. So the different opinions as to how far we go with this in terms of how long after the death can we consider a Yom Shmua for a Talmud Chacham to be considered as if it's in his presence, give a fun of, and even override the general festive nature of Moed. Okay. Tosas Divi Maschil, Kol Shekein, Chanukah Purim. So the Gemara in the broader context is quoted a statement of Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Rabbi Bar Huna, that one is allowed to utilize the Talmud Chacham in a full way, even on Chol HaMoed, and all the more so on Chanukah and Purim. So that shows that at this point, the Gemara didn't distinguish between Kvod HaTorah and Limud HaTorah. So that seems to show that learning in general is very significant, that it even overrides the regular morning restrictions of Chol HaMoed, and it even overrides the normal festive nature of Chanukah and Purim. So the Gemara raises this as a kasha. So how could the Gemara point out earlier they made a Kal V'Chomer that the Kohanim have to take a break from the Avodah in order to hear the Megillah, and a Kal V'Chomer that Torah learners have to take a break from the learning to hear the Megillah? That's the Gemara spoke about the base Rebbe, that from they learned from the parallel of Avodah, that the Kal V'Chomer, that they should fulfill the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah and stop their learning for that. Because Avodah is greater, the Gemara concluded, than Talmud Torah the Yochid, of individual Talmud Torah. But it's not greater than Talmud Torah the Rabbim, and that's what we see from Yehoshua. So, parenthetically, the simple pshat of that, according to Rashi, points out on the top of the page, that when we say Rabbim and Yochid here, we refer to Kol Klal Yisrael, which is called Rabbim, because that is what the case was concerning Yehoshua, and Yochid is concerning less than Kol Klal Yisrael, less than the majority of Klal Yisrael, because even if you have a minion of learners, presumably, the base Rebbe was a whole bunch of people learning together. It's a simple pshat that one could say that. We'll see more about that later in a later tosis. It sounds like the Rabbim means Kol Yisrael, and the Yachid means less than Kol Yisrael. So the Gemara had pointed out that the hierarchy is Talmud Torah, the Rabbim is the highest, and that's even higher than Avodah. Avodah is higher than Talmud Torah, the Yachid. And Megillah has the ability to push aside Avodah and Talmud Torah the Yachid. Again, presumably there's no proof that Megillah would push aside Talmud Torah the Rabbim, but according to what we're saying, that would be rare because we're dealing with Talmud Torah the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara challenged this assertion by pointing out that don't we see from the fact that you eulogize the Talmud Chacham on Moed and on Chanukah and on Purim, that even Talmud Torah the Yachid, an individual Talmud Chacham, is also very significant. So what exactly is the proof? So one could have said it in a vague way, that it just, we see from here that Talmud Torah D'Yachid is important, but that approach of the Gemara leaves what to be desired, because how does that necessarily impact Megillah? Maybe it's important, but maybe Megillah is more important than it. So that's that question that Tosis is coming to address. So Tosis gives quite a fascinating pshat, the Rimaskul Kolshkin and Chanukah Purim. How does that tie into Megillah? Shemuter laspidam, that is permissible to eulogize them on Chanukah and Purim. And with reference to Purim, Aval gav de mevatel mimikra Megillah, even though the eulogy is going to cause a pushing aside or an inability to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah. Again, this could say one of two pirushim: either you're going to delay the mikra Megillah, or you're going to not do it altogether. These are different pirushim in the poskim. And if you recall, the Tosis on Gimel Amud Aleph, on the top of the page, pointed out that the Gemara's usage of bitul avoda doesn't really mean to not do the avoda altogether; it means to push it off. So maybe that's what Tosis means over here. But either way, the eulogy is at least pushing off the mikra Megillah, maybe even nullifying it altogether. So Tosis points out that the Gemara is giving a direct proof that the eulogy is occurring on Purim, and even though it's conflicting with the Mikra Megillah, because you're not able to do it during the eulogy, and you might not be able to do it at all, according to that broader pshat. So hence, we have a kasha that you see that Talmud Torah D'Yachid is stronger than Megillah, and not like the assertion the Gemara had earlier that Megillah is stronger than Talmud Torah D'Yachid. Alma, so there's something here, this implies that Talmud Torah, chamor mi mikra Megillah, that it's more significant than mikra Megillah. This is Tosis' understanding of the kasha of the Gemara. And then the Gemara distinguishes that there's a difference between kavod Torah, which is more significant, according to Tosis' pshat, than mikra Megillah, and Talmud Torah, which is of a yachid, which is less significant than mikra Megillah. So is the pshat of Tosis. Just the contrast. So the different mafarshim suggest other pirushim. Some of them are unhappy with Tosis' interpretation because I guess they seem somewhat of an okimta. It's an unusual case. It's a conflict here. You could read the Megillah and then eulogize. Where would be the great conflict between the eulogy pushing aside the Megillah? Certainly if you hold that the idea of Bittel is pushing it off altogether, so it's very rare that you wouldn't have time to read the Megillah afterward. So some of Madaik that Rashi might not hold like Tosis. So the next popular pshat that's given has to do with the nature of Purim as a festive day. Gemara learns out later that the Purim is a day of Mishta v'Simcha. And there we learn that on a minimal level, it's also Chiyasuda, but on a minimal level, it's also Behesped v'Tainus, that normally you're not allowed to fast on Purim and you're not allowed to eulogize. So the fact that we're eulogizing a Talmud Chacham is overriding this directive from the Megillah of the prohibition against eulogies. So that's what the Gemara derives. So if we're overriding the Pasuk in Megillah that prohibits eulogies, so it stands to reason that it should also override the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. They even point out to a Gemara that compares Zechira and Asiyah, that there are comparisons between the mitzvah of Megillah and the other aspects of the holiday. So if we're overriding the prohibition of eulogy, it stands to reason that we also override the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And that was all the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara answers that that's true concerning Kavod HaTorah. It's not true concerning Limud HaTorah. There you have to stop in order to hear the Megillah. Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis Tos Diri Maschel Meis Mitzvah Adif. The Gemara had quoted a whole series of hierarchies that are given by Rava, where he said that Avoda and Mikra Megillah is more powerful than Avoda, Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah is more powerful than Talmud Torah, pushes it off. And then in the third comparison, Talmud Torah umeis mitzvah adif. Then when you have a conflict between learning and taking care of a meis mitzvah, literally a corpse that has no one else to take care of him, so Talmud Torah is pushed aside by Meis Mitzvah. And then they proceed to quote a brisa that was actually quoted in Ksuvas too, that Mevatel Talmud Torah in order to escort the dead, and Achnasas Kala, and so on and so forth. Then the Gemara proceeds to talk about Avoda and Meis Mitzvah, that Meis Mitzvah is more powerful, and then starts asking about Meis Mitzvah and Megillah. So Tosis points out that when Rava compared Mace Mitzvah and Talmud Torah and said that Mace Mitzvah is more important than Talmud Torah and pushes it off. The Tosis comments, Mace Mitzvah Adif, Lav Dafka Mace Mitzvah. Then when we're pitting together Mace and Talmud Torah, it doesn't have to be a dead body that no one's taking care of, literally a Mace Mitzvah. Hu Adin L'chol Mesim Shavolam. This is true for all the dead in the world. Even a regular person who does have relatives to take care of, does have friends to take care of the burial, nonetheless, mivatlin Talmud Torah lotziam. So we stop the learning in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of escorting and taking care of the burial, because that's what the Brisa says explicitly. Mivatlin Talmud Torah. The Gemara quoted the supporting Brisa. Again, we mentioned it's quoted very famous in Ksuvos Daf Yud Zayin. Lotzos meis lachnasas kala. It doesn't say lotzos meis mitzvah only. It says lotzos meis. That's the whole context of the Gemara there. It speaks about a Yehuda bar Eloi who stopped learning for these things. It wasn't talking about a meis mitzvah necessarily. So here it's lav dafka meis mitzvah. So why did the Gemara say meis mitzvah if it's really any meis? Ella, rather, aydi denokat besamuch, since it stated nearby gabe velachoso, concerning a drasha with the word velachoso, which we're not going to get involved now, which is the source for the override of meis mitzvah being more important than pretty much every other mitzvah. Meis mitzvah, there I was talking about meis mitzvah, because with respect to avoda, a kohen gadol is on his way to doing the avoda, or a father is on his way to doing a bris, so normally there would be osek mitzvah. And osek mitzvah, osek mitzvah is pater min a mitzvah. And they wouldn't get involved in escorting or being involved in a regular funeral, a regular burial. They only have to stop going to the Mila and going to the Avoda for a Meis Mitzvah. So there the Meis Mitzvah was Dafka, was precise. So that's what Torah says. I did an Oka B'samach Gabi V'lachoso, concerning the conflict between Avoda and happens to be Mila too, but the conflict between Avoda and Meis is Dafka Meis Mitzvah that wins out of Avoda, not a regular Meis. So Hachanami, also concerning Talmud Torah, Noka Talmud Torah Omeis Mitzvah, just the same language, if you will. But really, when it comes to Talmud Torah, even a regular Meis pushes aside Talmud Torah, not just a Meis Mitzvah. So this is going to be mentioned in the next Isis, but important to mention that it's not every single funeral that allows one to be Mevatel Talmud Torah. The Gemara discusses there various categories of a regular Jew who's unlearned, someone who's somewhat learned, someone who's more learned. So different categories of basically a Mevatel Talmud Torah to make sure that the mace has a sufficient amount of people there that are considered Mechubad for their particular status in terms of their connection to Talmud Torah. So it's not a carte blanche that we're Mevatel Talmud Torah in order to attend the funeral. It depends on the whole hierarchy of how learned the deceased is, and depending on how many people are already at the funeral. Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Tosfos Divrei Maschil, Meis Mitzvah Adif, the second one. To recall, Rava was giving a list of conflicts and how to resolve them. Previously, we had discussed conflict between Meis Mitzvah and Talmud Torah, that Meis Mitzvah is more important than Talmud Torah. Now we have the conflict of Meis Mitzvah and Avoda. Once again, Meis Mitzvah is more important than Avoda. Whereas concerning Talmud Torah, the Gemara quoted a Braisa as the source. Didn't go more than that. Concerning Avoda, the Gemara quotes a Braisa giving the example of someone going to bring the Korban Pesach and they find the Meis Mitzvah, they have to stop, bring the Korban Pesach, and take care of the Meis Mitzvah, even though they're going to become Tamei as a result and not be able to bring the Korban Pesach altogether. The Gemara said that the source of that Braisa is from a Pasuk, V'lachoso, which is in the context of Nazir, and Rashi explains how we get from Nazir to Avoda. So Tosis is going to challenge not the authenticity of the Halacha, but the need for a Pasuk source. Hiksha harav rav lachonan. Lam likra. Why do we need a pasuk of drasha v'lachoso to teach you that Meis Mitzvah is more important than avoda? Typically, Mekal v'chomer. Let us derive Mekal v'chomer. This is in line with a very common structure in Gemara that oftentimes the Gemara will ask, why do you need a drasha? A textual drasha, we should be able to derive from a logical drasha, in this case, Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Umat Talmud Torah, the Chamira, Mevat l'mishem kvod ha'meis, Avoda dekila, lo kol shekein. The Gemara, Rav had quoted earlier, that when you have a conflict between Talmud Torah and Meis Mitzvah, so Meis Mitzvah is more important than Talmud Torah. So if Talmud Torah is more important than Avoda, Talmud Torah is Chamira, Avoda is Kila, so if I'm Mevatel Talmud Torah for Kvod HaMeis, then all the more so we should be Mevatel Avoda in the context of a Meis Mitzvah. Isn't it a Kal v'chomer? So Tosis qualifies a bit, because if you recall, the Gemara earlier on Gilmud Aleph pointed out that it's only Talmud Torah the Rabbim that's more significant than Avoda, that we learned from the episode of Yoshua. But Talmud Torah the Yochid is less significant than Avoda. And it was based on that the Gemara earlier said that since we stop Avoda to read the Megillah, so all the more so will we stop Talmud Torah to read the Megillah, based on a different Kal v'chomer. That Kal v'chomer assuming that Avoda is more severe than Talmud Torah. But Talmud Torah the Yochid, Talmud Torah the Rabbim, is more severe. So in light of that, Tosis points out, in a moment we'll elaborate what his source is, but Tosis points out that not only are we Mevatel Talmud Torah the Yochid for the purpose of a mace, but we are even Mevatel Talmud Torah of the masses, of the Rabbim, for a mace. So now we have our Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer being that if we even stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim for the purpose of Kvod HaMeis, and Talmud Torah the Rabbim is more important than Avoda, so that's the Kal v'chomer that we will stop Avoda for the purpose of taking care of a Meis Mitzvah. Again, the logic of the Kal v'chomer, to use a mathematical analogy, if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, then A is certainly greater than C. So here we have dealing with the mace is greater than Talmud Torah the Rabbim. Talmud Torah the Rabbim is greater than Avoda. So we have a Kal v'chomer that taking care of the mace is greater than Avoda. Let us unpack the source of how we know that we stop even Talmud Torah the Rabbim for the purpose of taking care of the mace. So Tosis writes on the fifth line, the ha. Afilu Talmud Torah the Rabbim Vatlan Mishum Kvod HaMeis. Even Talmud Torah the Masses, we would stop for Kvod HaMeis. Kid Amar Referek Beis. Kid Amar Perek Beis Exuvis. As is indicated in second Perek Exuvis, Taf Yizayin Mar Aleph. The Rashash has somewhat of a Tzorachian, a small kasha. How come Tos didn't quote it from the Gemara Megillah? Gemara Megillah actually quotes this on Daf Chof Tes Mar Aleph, the same Brisa that's quoted in Exuvis. What does the Brisa say? So the Brisa states that we stop Talmud Torah in order to fulfill either the mitzvah of Otzoas Ameis, of escorting the dead, or Hachnasas Kala, of joyfully giving the Kala Simcha, escorting her to the Chuppah. So, how does that Gemara prove that we're Mevatel even Talmud Torah, the Yochid? So the Gemara quotes that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi would stop learning for the purpose of taking care of the Kala or the Mace, but we don't necessarily see from that he would stop his yeshiva from learning. Maybe he went as a private individual. But the Gemara later points out how many people are considered proper kavod. Tosa spoke about Kvod HaMeis earlier. Proper glorification of the deceased. So the Gemara has the following distinction. If we're dealing with someone who's Kari Vitani, that he learned Torah Shvachsav and he learned Mishnah, so then his kavod is a mere 12,000 people. As long as you don't have 12,000 people there, one would be mevatel Torah to make sure that you get up to the 12,000. And there's another opinion there in the Gemara that at 600,000. Nitilasa kinesinasa, the Gemara quotes the fascinating analogy that just as Har Sinai, the Torah was given with 600,000 people, so too when the Talmud Chacham leaves the world. So this nitilasa Torah, if you will, taking the Torah, unfortunately, away from the world in the personification of that Talmud Chacham, so it stands to reason that the glory that's due him is at least 600,000 people. Then the Gemara points out further that if we have a man de kare vitani umasni, some Rishonim interpret masni to mean that he was a mishamish talmid chachamim, which sometimes is taken to understand to mean that he studied not only Mishnah halachic facts, if you will, but also Gemara analysis. Rashi explains, which I think is the psak that's recorded in Shulchan Aruch, that masni means someone who not only learned himself but he taught others. And he was masni that he taught others. So then ain lo shir. So, based on this, commentaries in this Tosis explained, that's what Tosis is driving at, that you see that even to get to the number 12,000, or even to get to the number 600,000, for someone who only learned on his own, and for someone who taught others, you would stop the whole world, theoretically, learning in order to escort this person. So that should be considered, certainly, Talmud Torah de Rabin. So you see, we're stopping Talmud Torah de Rabin for the purpose of taking care of the deceased and covered a mace. So hence, again, our Kal V'chomer, that if we even stop the Talmud Torah, take care of the dead, so all the more so, Avoda. This is what Tosis is saying. So let us derive this from a Kal V'chomer and from the fact that we stop learning to take care of the dead, all the more so, Avoda, we should not need the Pasuk of Elachosa. Just a extra word of clarification in this Tosis. The previous Tosis had pointed out that the conflict between Meis Mitzvah and Torah is not necessarily a conflict between Meis Mitzvah and Torah. Because even a regular mace, at least the Talmud Chacham, as we just described, versus Talmud Torah, would also necessitate stopping the learning in order to take care of quota mace. Not necessarily mace mitzvah. That's the previous Tosis pointed out. And his source is exactly from the Brisa that we just quoted. That's quoted in the Gemara and Ksuvah Daf Yud Zayin and Megillah Daf Chav Tes. Because not dealing with mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah is someone who has his basic needs and not being taken care of. The Tara, the burial, and so on and so forth. There's no one to take care of him. There, we're talking about numbers of 12,000, 600,000. The sky's the limit for someone who teaches. So he's not a mace mitzvah. It's a regular mace. Again, regular in the sense of someone that you have people to take care of him. But we're increasing the numbers in order to give him glory, in order to give him respect. So Talmud Torah, with respect to mace, is a regular mace. But simply speaking, with respect to Avoda, it would only be a Meis Mitzvah that we stop Avoda for. But a regular Meis, just to give extra honor, probably it sounds like we wouldn't stop Avoda for. So what exactly is Tosas Kal V'chomer? He seems to be mixing a regular Meis with a Meis Mitzvah. Perhaps we can suggest that the understanding of the Kal V'chomer that Rav Elchanan is proposing here is as follows. We have the source in the Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Yud Zayin, and Megillah Daf Chav Tes, that we stop Talmud Torah Derabim in order to increase the kavod of certain mason. As was discussed, is concerning Talmidei Chachamim. The topic of kavod hamais is high up on the value of the hierarchy of halacha, and will even stop Talmud Torah Derabim for kavod hamais. So from there we have a kal v'chomer that concerning avoda will also stop the avoda for kavod hamais, except there we'll apply it to mais mitzvah. There are two types of kavod hamais. There's kavod hamais to increase the amount of people at the funeral, which is not what we would call a mais mitzvah. That's a regular mais. What is kavod hamais to assure that there's the minimal amount of people available in order to take care of the mace's basic needs? That's what we call mace mitzvah. But the common denominator is that they're both kavod hamais. So now we could ask two additional points. So why is it that kavod hamais does not allow us to stop Talmud Torah Derabim with respect to a mace mitzvah? At least, as we'll see later on in the Tosis, when we're dealing with an unlearned Meis Mitzvah. So Tosis implies that we're not going to stop learning for that. So I think the answer is straightforward, because we're dealing with Talmud Torah Derabim. And the only amount of people that you're going to need in order to take care of the Meis Mitzvah are individuals. So we're not going to stop Talmud Torah Derabim for a Meis Mitzvah. The only relevance of stopping Talmud Torah Derabim for Kavod HaMeis is not applicable to the case of Meis Mitzvah, where all you need is a minimal amount of people, or perhaps even one person, but rather to increase the Kavod for Talmid Chachamim to make sure they have the correct amount that befits their kavod. So for technical reason, when it comes to Talmud Torah Derabim, it's not going to be relevant to Meis Mitzvah. In a similar way, the Sfas Emes deals with the other issue that once we say that we're Mevatel Talmud Torah to increase the kavod for a regular Meis who's a Talmud Chacham, when it comes to Talmud Torah, so that should be able to be shipped over Kal V'chomer with the Kal V'chomer to Avoda, that we should stop the Avoda in order to increase the Kavod of a Talmud Chacham. And that we don't really find anywhere in the Gemara. We only find Avoda being stopped from Meis Mitzvah. So that's what the Sfas Emes asks that question. And very briefly, he answers that with respect to Talmud Torah, so there, it's kind of an all or nothing. If we're stopping Talmud Torah to increase Kavod HaMeis, so if the value of Talmud Torah is so great that you shouldn't stop, then you won't be able to give the proper Kavod to the person. And if the value of Kavod HaMeis is so strong that it even stops Talmud Torah, then it's going to stop everybody's Talmud Torah, the Talmud Torah, the Rabbin, because everyone is obligated in Talmud Torah. So if everyone's going to use the excuse of that he's learning and not going to give a kavod to Meis, then the Meis is not going to get the kavod that he deserves. On the other hand, when it comes to avoda concerning the regular Meis, in terms of increasing the amount of people there, so the small group of Kohanim who are engaged in the avoda at any particular moment, so they're not attending and increasing the sample set of people who are attending the funeral for the Talmud Chacham is not going to sufficiently impact the kavod, because other people could take care of the kavod. Not everyone is chayiv in any particular point in avoda. So there we could skip over them and preserve the avoda and not have them stop for kavod hameis. And therefore, the only time you would stop for avoda is for a Meis Mitzvah where there's no one else available, at least at that moment, to take care of the Meis. The Tosas answers, seventh line down, Yesh Lomar. Tehani mili leman dekari v'tani umasni. That has the Gemara and Ksuvos, which in Megillah Daf Chav Tes, we mentioned earlier, points out that the whole time, the framework in which you have such massive bittul Torah, if you will, in order to take care of the of honoring the deceased, the 12,000, the 600,000, the sky's the limit, is l'man dekari v'tani umasni. Someone who has learned Tanakh and Mishnah, the way the Mepharshim explain, umasni, and certainly someone who has taught, so then dekari v'tani, you give him 600,000, and the masni, you give him unlimited, the tzorach kulihai, that he requires all that for his kavod. Or what a statement in terms of the kavod that's necessary for Talmud Chacham, who has passed away, to show kavod to his Torah study. Avlamanda lo kari v'tani, but someone who is unlearned, he has not learned Tanakh, he has not learned Mishnah, lo tzarech kulihai, doesn't require so many, doesn't require 12,000, doesn't require 600,000, doesn't require an infinite amount. How much does he require? So Tosna Chav Tesamad Aleph quotes that whatever is necessary to bury him and take care of the burial needs. The Torah quotes in the Ramban, in the name of the Shilt is a minion. So you should be able to say Kaddish and proper comforting with Shura, the row of comforters in the cemetery, but certainly a minimal amount. So that's what the Gemara points out. And when it comes to Talmud Torah, you're only going to be Mevatel Talmud Torah the Rabbim for a deceased who was a learned deceased. So the basis of the Kal V'chomer was from Talmud Torah the Rabbim dealing with a situation where we're Mevatel Talmud Torah the Rabbim for the kavod of the Meis. That's for a learned Meis. Here in our Gemara, when it quotes the Pasuk of Alachoso, Ma'iri is referring to the Meis Mitzvah, the low kari v'tani. We're dealing with the Meis Mitzvah that there's no one to take care of, who is not learned. And that's why we need the Pasuk of Alachoso to recall. An unlearned Meis Mitzvah, we would not stop Talmud Torah 4. Because as the Gemara Ksuvos it says that we do is only concerning a Kari Vitani Umasni. And the whole basis of the Kal V'Chomer was that Meis is more important than Talmud of the Rabbim. And Talmud of the Rabbim is more important than Avoda. So Meis is certainly more important than Avoda. But that's only true. The Meis is more important than Talmud of the Rabbim is a learned person who passed away. But an unlearned person who passed away, we would not stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim. So there's no Kal V'Chomer because you don't get to the first base. You don't get to the first step of the Meis being greater than Talmud Torah. So if we don't have the Kal V'Chomer concerning a Meis Mitzvah who's unlearned, then you need the Pasuk of Alachoso to fill in that gap, that even though we would not stop Talmud Torah for it, but we would stop Avoda for it. But if we're dealing with a learned Meis, so then you have a Kal V'Chomer, because you would even stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim for it, all the more so Avoda, and we wouldn't need V'Lachoso. What seems to emerge from Tosfos is that when it comes to Avoda, so we stop Avoda for any kind of Meis Mitzvah, learned or unlearned. When it comes to Talmud Torah the Rabbim, so then we would not stop learning, neither for someone who's unlearned. For someone who's learned, we would stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim. For someone who's unlearned, we would not stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim for a Meis Mitzvah. And just to reflect on that a bit, because the Meis Mitzvah will no longer be a Meis Mitzvah once you have someone to take care of him. So you don't need to mevatel Talmud Torah the Rabbim in order to take care of a Meis Mitzvah. All you need is for select individuals, maximum 10. But as we pointed out in the context of our Gemara, that's not what's called Talmud Torah the Rabbim for the purpose of our Gemara. So again, Tosis is Kasha. Briefly, is what need a Pasuk Lachoso? We have a Kal V'Chomer with Talmud Torah the Rabbim, because that also we stop under certain circumstances for a Meis, at least a learned Meis. And the answer is exactly that. We stop Talmud Torah the Rabbim for a learned Meis. So it's only in that venue that we have the Kal V'Chomer, and you don't need V'Lachoso. But for an unlearned Meis mitzvah, we would not stop the Talmud Torah for, and therefore you would not have a Kal V'Chomer, and therefore we need V'Lachoso in order to say that, nonetheless, you do stop a Avoda for it.